John Brown's body lies a moldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory,
welcome to War of the Rebellion, Stories of the Civil War. I am your host, Leon, and this is a reading of the history of the 72nd Volunteer Infantry of the Mounted Lightning Brigade. Chapter 10. September 22nd to September 30th, 1862. From Shepherdsville to Lennisville. 500 men on picket duty, eating sweet potatoes. Rumor that we were captured. Moving through Louisville all night. City crowded with troops. Artillery and wagons. 500 more men on picket and more sweet potatoes. Fortifying through Cave Hill Cemetery. Buell's troops coming in. Bragg asks Buell to surrender and is told to go to blank. Men, women, and children in fright flee the city. General Nelson killed. Governor Morton comes to see us. Incorporated into the Army of the Ohio. On the 22nd of September, we took cars and went to Louisville, a detail marching through on the dirt road, felling trees across it, and making it every way difficult for the rebels to travel. We marched through Louisville for the second time in a little over a month, and again were greeted very cordially by the citizens as we marched through the city to our camping grounds on the Louisville and Portland Horse Railroad. On the very next day, a detail of 500 men went out on picket duty under Major Kirkpatrick, down below the city, near the Ohio River, and were not relieved until on the 25th. As we took rations but for 24 hours, we were forced to shift a little for the extra time, but experienced no serious difficulty in doing so, as sweet potatoes were plenty, and we boiled them by the bushel in a big kettle which a lady near the post kindly lent us, and which we religiously left. It was too big to carry. Our regiment had been the last one to get in from the south, and fears were entertained that we were captured, and a rumor got afloat to that effect, which caused our friends at home some uneasiness. Louisville was now all in commotion. As soon as we returned from picket, we removed to a new camp in the night. We started soon after supper and were all night making about 8 miles. The streets were so jammed and packed with wagons, artillery, ambulances, and men that it was impossible to make any sort of progress. We were not more than started until we were halted, and the whole night we were marching a few rods and halting several minutes or an hour, until the men were almost worn out and their patience exhausted. As day begun to dawn, the 72nd was marched out into a potato field full of rank weeds and told to lie down and rest. They did so, but the stench was horrible, yet so tired were the troops that they could not be dainty, and rolled up in their blankets and slept soundly until sun up, when they were called up to go into regular camp. The stench which came up from the ground was caused by its having been carelessly occupied by troops for a day or two before. We went into camp at the head of Broadway, near Cave Hill Cemetery, put things in tolerable order, but in a few hours 500 more men were detailed for picket duty, which left but a few hundred in camp. This was the last time that 500 men were ever detailed at one time from our regiment for picket duty. In 6 months from that time, there were not 500 men fit for duty in it. When we returned from picket duty, we made another move and went into camp, forming a part of the outer line of Buell's army, which was rapidly fortifying for the defense of the city. The fortifications were constructed directly through the beautiful Cave Hill Cemetery, without regard to graves. The old troops were now moving from the south. Members of the 10th, the 40th, the 61st and other regiments in which we had acquaintances. They came to see us, and were dirty, lousy, and footsore from their long, forced march. They told us some tremendous yarns of their suffering and adventures during the retreat, which we didn't more than half believe at the time, but think all true now. Bragg had sent in a demand for Buell to surrender, and had received as reply to go to Hill's, and pushed his fortifying with more vigor, and extended and strengthened his line as his veteran troops arrived. Men, women, and children in a panic of fright were fleeing from the city, and Louisville was in a howling uproar, filled with troops, teams, dust, and clatterbang of arms. On the evening of the 28th, firing of cannon from some point of our fortifications led to the rumor of an attack, and again every man of the 72nd quietly examined his gun and saw that it was ready for service. Buell was determined not to be surprised, and for several nights we were called up at 3 a.m. and made to lie on our arms until 5 a.m. In the chilly morning air, this was very trying on the men who had hard duty drilling and working on their fortifications every day. They did grumble at it, and no wonder. The order was utterly useless if the approaches to the city were properly picketed. But even generals learned slowly, and wore out thousands of men in learning a very little. On the 29th, news spread through our regiment that Major General William Nelson had been assassinated by Jeff Davis. This caused great excitement and confusion, as it was at first understood that Jeff Davis, president of the Southern Confederacy, had slipped in and murdered the general, who was regarded as one of the ablest Union commanders. We presently got the story straight and understood that General Jeff C. Davis and General Nelson had quarreled, and the killing grew out of it. We were too busy to have continued interest in the matter, and as soon as we found that the head of the Southern Confederacy was not in the city, we proceeded with fortifying, drilling, and cooking. While we lay at Louisville, Governor O.P. Morton visited the city, and every regiment from Indiana, inquiring into their wants and making notes of them, that he might have supplied to the extent of his ability. He visited the 72nd and was heartily received. He was much pleased to learn of our improvement in discipline, but very much concerned to learn that sickness was thinning our ranks so rapidly. At this city, we were incorporated into the Army of the Ohio in the 12th Division, 40th Brigade, the division under the command of General Dumont, and the brigade under the command of General Granger. All righty, let's get into some notes. It's a very short episode this week, but there are two things that I want to talk about. The first one being with the regiment itself, and that is the gossip and confusion that reigns supreme that he very briefly talks about in this regimental history. One of the things that I learned in the Marine Corps that surprised me was the gossip problem. In the Marines, it's called the Lance Corporal Underground. The Army calls it the E4 Mafia. It is consistently wrong, ever evolving. I had a gunnery sergeant who I worked closely with in my infantry company, a brilliant leader of men, as gunnies often are, as senior enlisted often are. There are bad ones, but anyway. He would personally plant rumors into the Lance Corporal Underground just to see what they would look like after a few days. A deviously funny man. Now, this all seems all too apparent where we hear about these rumor mills that are in full swing during the Civil War, especially among the soldiers. And I like to imagine that we can go back to where it just seems that soldiers themselves are just rumor factories. When you find out a Union general has been killed by the president of the Confederacy. And exactly how many rumors probably just start swirling around right after they find that out. And because it takes them a while to find out the truth. Now, what actually happened was two Union generals, William Bull Nelson, he's 6'2", 300 pounds, loud and boisterous, and Jefferson Davis, who is Jefferson Columbus Davis. He is a regular army officer. He's small and diminutive, like 130 pounds. There are whole YouTube videos dedicated to the story of this, the drama behind it, the witnesses. It's all there. It's juicy. I would go recommend it. You can just type in like the murder of William Nelson or the killing of, and it'll pop up. So I'm going to keep this brief. Major General Nelson insults Brigadier General Davis, and Davis took that personally, so he started blasting. And that's it. That's the entire drama wrapped up there for you. But it's juicy. If you really like the nitty-gritty details, go for it. That people have written books about this, and that historians have covered every inch of their lives and the moment and everything else, and it's just a passing memory to the soldiers who were there, is really interesting, because soldiers really tell us what's important to them when they write these histories. And for them, it just seems like it wasn't that of a big deal. So, just a very interesting take. Anyway, I'm very excited to see where the regiment goes next. By the way, if you haven't yet, you can come check out the YouTube channel. The audio listens there for uploading the podcast are very quickly surpassing the listens I already have across everything else, which is quite shocking to me that there's even that many more people who are interested in these stories. I love it. Have a great one. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Old John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his soul is marching on.